We continue today in this Lenten sermon series entitled A Journey to the Cross. That's what we're doing. And we continue in this 40-day journey that is a Lenten journey, as I mentioned the very first week. It will take us all the way up to the cross and right before Easter. And I remind you, as I did last week, what C.S. Lewis has called this Lenten season. He says, Lent is a season of a kind of happiness and a kind of joy that makes us more serious. I believe this is exactly that kind of time. The second sermon in this series is entitled Silence in the Journey. And we do encounter silence from Jesus in the journey here in these readings. The first reading I'm going to offer is from the lectionary reading for today. The lectionary mostly follows Luke in this Lenten season. And this is the passage in Luke 13 that I'll read as the first reading where Jesus laments over Jerusalem. I begin reading in chapter 13 and at verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Notice how that passage is pointing to Palm Sunday. And then the second reading I have paired with this is the reading in which finally Herod catches up to Jesus and they meet for the first time. In chapter 23, beginning at verse 6, when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been waiting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Notice then this strange verse that we read in verse 12. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Before we pray before the message, I'm startled by this particular verse because it just causes me to imagine what kind of sordid friendship was formed between these two. It was no doubt a friendship built around a common hatred, a mistreatment of the Jews that these two were called to govern over. It is what I would call a sordid friendship between two sordid characters. And with that, let us come to pray. O Lord, as we consider the people, the places, and events in our own lives and reflect upon that in this journey to the cross, remind us of the way that these events and people have shaped our journey of faith, indeed how our very lives have been shaped by you. Help us to know that we can trust you even when you, O God, seem silent and the enemies seem to encircle us. Speak to us, Lord, as we journey to your cross with you. Speak to us, for your servants are listening. And so we pray now in the name of the one who came into the world to show us the way forward, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in the journey that Jesus makes to the cross, the Gospels record that there were times that Jesus was silent. You can actually do a little Google search on the times in which Jesus was silent, and you will get a whole list of verses. What you will find is most of those listings occur as Jesus nears the cross during the time of his trial and his persecution. The prophet Isaiah foretold that this would take place. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, it reads this way: "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth." Now, if you turn in Matthew's record of the events that took place between Pilate and Herod and the questioning that even the high priest did of Jesus, what you learn is that Jesus kept silent before the high priest when they questioned him, and he was asked under oath, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" And it literally says Jesus kept silent in chapter 26 of Matthew. Matthew also records in chapter 27 that Pilate also questioned Jesus, and again Jesus gave no answer. He said nothing. No answer to a single charge that was made against him. In our reading from Luke chapter 23, Luke also records that Jesus was questioned at length by Herod, the king of that region, and Luke records again, Jesus made no answer. So this is a story that is repeated in several of the Gospels. And so it must be important that Jesus was silent before his accusers. And yet, note with me, when you go and look at the detail of those stories, you find both Herod and Pilate say they found no guilt in him. And he is given over the people, and they provide the sentence. Now, Jesus could have answered. He could have answered both Herod. He could have answered Pilate. He could have answered the high priest, but he did not. He could have said something that would have driven a wedge further between Herod and Pilate. And remember, the text said they had previously been enemies. And so clearly this would not have been hard to do. He could have done that, and perhaps it would have helped to secure his freedom. Herod wanted a show. Herod wanted to see a miracle. He had heard about Jesus, and if Jesus had performed a miracle, perhaps he too, at that point, could have secured his freedom. But instead, Jesus, who is described very clearly, if you read through Luke's gospel, very clearly the image of Jesus as the Lamb of God is the dominant image in the gospel of Luke of who Jesus is, the Lamb of God. And Jesus, we see in this particular passage in Luke, in the chapter 13, he refers to Herod as the fox. How interesting, a duel here between the Lamb of God and the fox. And before the fox, Jesus was silent. I want to press this point home at the very beginning of this message, because as we have installed and ordained elders and deacons in this service who are responding to the call of God in their life to serve, the question I want all of you to consider is this: do you still hear Jesus calling you in your life? Do you still hear Jesus calling you in your journey through the people, the places, and events that helped to shape you. Do you hear him? I know there are clearly times in the past when perhaps a message given that you heard somewhere or scripture read brought warmth, perhaps joy to your heart. Perhaps you've had that experience. Perhaps there were times when you experienced Christ as real. I've had that experience. It's an amazing experience. It's wonderful. It's powerful. You can feel the presence of Christ in your life if you've had that experience. Is it still true that when you sing a song or a hymn of faith, that at some point you get a lump in your throat or a tear in your eye? Have you ever had that experience? When you behold the beauty of the mountains somewhere in this country or in this world, or when you see a Florida sunset, can you imagine and hear the whisper of God who created it? Can you read the pages of the Bible without having your mind and your spirit stretched to new horizons? I hope you can. But if you cannot, and all these things, hear the voice of God, then I would say to you, be aware, be very aware of the silence of God in your journey at any point. For just like here, Jesus speaks without a word, but very powerfully in the silence before Pilate and Herod. He speaks volumes, I believe. Think, for example, about the things Jesus could have offered Herod. If Herod had been open to Jesus, speaking to him, giving him a new truth, a new hope, perhaps wholeness in his life, it could have changed Herod's life forever. And yet Herod wasted that opportunity. Here was Jesus, silently strong, standing before this supreme power that most whom other people bowed low before, because he was so powerful in that region. Everyone bowed before Herod. And yet here we see that Jesus does not even recognize his authority. And we shall, in a moment, hear about Herod, who was such a pitiful character in the New Testament. But think about what Jesus could have offered Herod, yet Jesus answered not a word. And I think perhaps he did not answer because he perhaps knew it would do no good. Herod had closed off any possibility for some new truth in his life. Or as Clovis Chappell, the famous preacher, once said, he wrote this in his book on Jesus' miracles. He wrote, "Jesus had his eyes shut to the light for so long that he could no longer see it." I say to you this morning, as we journey to the cross, this is a very serious journey. If you are not hearing the voice of Jesus in your life, if you are not sensing his leading in your life, then I invite you to reflect and to think upon who Jesus is as we have begun this journey to the cross together, and we will discover just who he is. And so I'm saying to you this morning, open your life to the light of Christ in this journey to the cross. Today, while we look early on in Luke's gospel and hear this very odd warning by the Pharisees of all people, the Pharisees who would turn against Jesus, but here in chapter 13, the Pharisees warn Jesus that Herod is looking to kill him. It's a very strange warning coming from them. But we will also see in the moments further ahead where Jesus finally meets up with Herod. We have noted that Jesus called Herod to the Pharisees. He said, "Tell that fox," and he gave him directions about what to tell the fox. And you know, today when we apply the word fox to a person, we don't mean that they're a clever person or a beautiful person, that fox. You see, in Jesus' day, the fox was considered to be a worthless and insignificant animal. And therefore, in Jesus' day and time, when you called someone a fox, you were expressing contempt for that person. And note with me that in Luke, here in chapter 23, that when Herod saw Jesus, we read that Herod was very glad. He was glad because we learned he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and he was hoping, perhaps, to see one of the miracles that he had heard Jesus was doing in the region. In other words, Herod wasn't looking for a savior. He wasn't looking for a new word. He wasn't looking for wholeness. He was looking for a magician, and he was looking for a performer. And so the question comes in your journey to the cross, when you look to Jesus, what are you looking for? It's very important. But he wasn't looking for a savior. He was looking to be entertained. And yet, he could have offered Herod so much. Now, this Herod, it's important to know a little bit about this particular Herod. He was one of three sons of Herod the Great. All this will make more sense as we come to Holy Week and the trial of Jesus and Good Friday. But this was one of Herod the Great's three sons. And you know about Herod the Great. Herod the Great was the one that encountered the wise men, the magi, who had come from the east to find the prophesied newborn king. It was Herod the Great who tried to snuff out the baby Jesus by having all of the innocent boys killed of that age. This son of Herod the Great was called Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee and Perea. And soon after he ascended to the throne, Herod Antipas had an incestuous affair with his brother's wife. What a great family this is here, Herod. And Herod's brother's wife, her name was Herodias. Herodias divorced her husband and married Herod. And John the Baptist was openly critical of Herodias and Herod Antipas, so much so that Herodias wanted to get even with him. She wanted to have him killed. But finally, Herod caught up with John the Baptist, and he threw him in the royal dungeon, the royal prison. Finally, on the occasion of his birthday, Herodias' daughter... her daughter by another man, she danced before Herod on his birthday. And when you read that story in Mark 6, she danced so seductively. She was seeking to seduce him, the scriptures intone. And in doing that, Herod finally said at that birthday party, "I'll give you as much as you want, up to half of my kingdom." He must have had a few, huh? And instead of asking for half of his kingdom, she consulted with her mother Herodias, "What should I ask for?" And Herodias said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she got even. John the Baptist was beheaded. Again, what a great family, right? But you know and perhaps have heard the saying by Lord Acton. It's a famous saying, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." And it's true. Herod Antipas took that dictum one step further. He had little power, but the little power that he had completely corrupted him. And in a pathetic attempt at easing the embarrassing disappointment of his life, he turned his court into a carnival. Historians tell us. He brought in entertainers, singers, dancers, jugglers, anyone who could take his mind off of the sorry state of his life and those he had to govern. And so he was glad to see Jesus. He had heard about the miracles that were worked in Galilee by Jesus, and it would become a welcome diversion to encounter Jesus. And he does here. Again, he wasn't looking for a savior, but instead he was looking for a show. And so he was glad to encounter Jesus for all the wrong reasons. And Luke tells us that Herod questioned Jesus at some length, but that Jesus again did what? He made no answer. He was silent. Silent before Herod. And then Herod and his soldiers treated Jesus with contempt and they mocked him. Faced with the silence of Jesus in this story, we read that Herod resorted to anger. They call you a miracle man, and so if you won't give me a show, I'll give you one. And he ordered his bodyguards to dress Jesus up in an elegant robe, the kind a king would wear, and Herod and his court bowed down, mocked Jesus, and laughed at him. What a wasted opportunity by Herod and those soldiers. Face to face with the Son of God, face to face with the Creator of the universe, face to face with the Redeemer and the Savior of sinners and the entire world, what a wasted opportunity by Herod. But please note, before we are too quick to condemn Herod, as we journey to the cross, the question comes, what about us? Because we have also come face to face before Jesus this morning. And the question is, have there been times in our lives when we have not taken him seriously enough? Someone has written, we want Christ, but not his cross. We want the church, but not the discipline that it calls for us to use our time, our talents, and our lives for him. We want its worship, but not on a cold day or a rainy day or when the clock springs forward. We want its teaching for our children, but only when we do not oversleep or the grass is too tall. And yet those children were here this morning, our young people. Ruin my message today. I hope you'll do that often. But if we do not learn anything else this morning from King Herod, let us learn this. Let us not toy, and let us never trifle with God in our journeys in life. Or as the Scottish Bible scholar William Barclay once wrote, he will be loved and he will be adored, or he will be hated and cursed, but he will not stand to be trivialized. And so, my friends, as we journey to the cross, let us do so to deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ by giving him our lives and glorifying him. And I ask you this morning as I close, in this duel between the lamb and the fox, who won? You tell me. Let us pray. Almighty God, we continue now as we journey with your Son, Jesus, to his cross. And as we do, help us to reflect daily on our own lives, in the people we encounter, the places that we go, and the events. And in those people and places and events, help us to know that you are not silent, but that very often you are speaking to us in those whom we meet. In the name of Christ, help us to look for just that. Amen.